Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score. Cubs survived their makeup game in D.C. Everybody except for that guy, Pedro Strop. For some reason, the Cubs' de facto closer hit for himself and then hurt himself. And now he's out for the rest of the regular season. So how much should Joe Maddon be pounded for this move, if at all? Corey Crawford back on the ice, but he did not take part in the Blackhawks' first training camp practice. He says he's getting closer to returning after concussion symptoms ended his season last year. Is he the key to the Blackhawks returning to the playoffs? Chicago Bears continue to teach Trubisky, and the second-year QB is learning his lessons from last weekend's collapse at Lambeau. So how much will he improve against the Seahawks on Monday night? And will he suffer through growing pains all season long? And welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good finish to your week. Ready for a great weekend. I'm David Kaplan. The panel for today's show, he's Harry Tynowitz, veteran sportsman. You hear him over at WGN Radio. Adam Johns from the Chicago Sun-Times. Seth Gruen from his podcast, The Bleacher Report. The guy is all over the place. All right, Pedro Strop is done for the rest of the regular season. No word if he'll be able to make it back for the postseason after he pulled his hamstring yesterday trying to beat out a double play ball in the nation's capital. Look, Adam, I don't understand why he was batting, number one. Number two, I don't understand why he's trying to beat that thing out. I get he's a competitor. This is a really serious problem for the Cubs.
Well, it's a flukish play, though, to begin with. I don't really have a major problem with the batting. Look, it's your bullpen's already spent anyway. You're making up this game in Washington to begin with. There's a lot of variables to consider. To me, it's pulling the starter early when you know your bullpen is already a train wreck. You need to get innings out of your starting
pitcher. You pull them less than 5 innings?
Yes, yeah, early.
Yeah, that's the bone I would pick with Joe Maddon. But as far as this goes in a vacuum, I don't think you can blame him. Look, the Cubs are, what, a game and a half out right now? You have to do whatever you can win baseball games, or there is no postseason. So, yes, I think it's a major problem for the Cubs, a bullpen that's obviously very beat up. But trying to beat out a double play, I have no problem with it because you have to win baseball games now. Now is the
playoffs. Yeah, I wouldn't have had him in there, period.
If you have him in there, he's a professional athlete. What he's going to do is he is going to give 110% to get to first base to beat it out. So you
not all guys.
Maddox didn't, you know, but he's a savvy veteran. But, you know, Strope doesn't run a lot. He doesn't hit a lot.
Last time he hit was last August. Here's Joe Maddon mere moments ago at Wrigley.
It's just unfortunate. I mean, he's been so big for us right now, and he's to be without him for the next couple of weeks is going to be difficult. There's no question. But, you know, critically, whatever, that's fine. When the game's in progress, you set up your program, you try to do different things, and we eventually did win the game. And I know you don't want to win the battle and lose the war. I mean, that's always a concern of mine, too. But the biggest negative about yesterday is the fact that Stropey got hurt.
All right, so there's Joe Maddon and his thoughts. Our Enken Law Sports Talk Live poll question is on your screen right now. How much blame does the manager deserve for Pedro Strop's injury? How would you guys answer that?
I would just say zero. Again, and I'll take Joe Maddon to task for questionable moves he's made this year and in years past, but to me this just isn't one of them. Look, there are bullpen pitchers who sprint out to the mound. This could have happened then. Mariano Rivera tore his ACL shagging fly balls. There are a litany of different movements that a bullpen pitcher goes through. And it's like Adam said, this is a fluke thing.
It is a fluke thing, but he deserves some of the blame. I mean, his first
Why is he even batting?
For what?
Yeah. I mean, one thing led to the next. And look, this adds to a lot of other questionable moves that Joe Maddon has made. But I want to see how he manages his team now. I mean, you're down two closers. Morrow's obviously not coming back anytime soon. Strope already gave his timeline. I love that, too, by the way. When people asked how long he was going to be out, he already gave the timeline, like how he knew how long.
Yeah, I would just like to have seen him either stand there with the bat on his shoulder or not bat at all. He'd already thrown north of 20 pitches. I mean, Pedro's not a guy that goes three innings.
Right. If the manager tells him, just go to the plate and don't swing, I used to get that in Little League, then you're okay. But, I mean, I'm more concerned about relief pitchers, you know, shagging fly balls in the outfield than I am when they're in the game. If you take him out, he can't do that. It's that simple. I love Joe Maddon. He changed the entire culture of that team. He took the Cubs from, you know, 100 years of horror to world champions. But, you know, yesterday I thought he should have had Strope out of the game.
I remember a while ago covering the White Sox and just asking Kenny Williams about bullpens and whatnot. And I remember he said, you never truly know, as a fan or someone covering the game, the true health of the bullpen. Now, we know guys who are on the DL. We know guys who are hurt. But there's general soreness and a litany of reasons other guys aren't available. And Joe Maddon probably made certain decisions on that basis. You know, it's a manager for a reason. You're not just managing the game. You're managing a week. You're managing a series. And there are a million different reasons he could have made that decision. And, you know, I'll die on this hill with him.
General soreness. Didn't he play point guard for the Bulls back in the day?
Yes, he did.
All right, so how does this affect the rest of the division race? The Brewers are playing good baseball. Brewers are at home with the Pirates this weekend. How does this affect the race?
Well, I think, you know, it fuels their fire because Strope has been really good, right? 11 for 13 since Morrow went down. But, you know, I'm wondering, if I'm the Brewers, I'm feeling pretty confident already, you know, without Strope getting hurt. But, like, who's your closer now for the Cubs? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's got to be Justin Wilson, right? It cannot be Carl Edwards Jr.
No.
He's lost it.
If Joe Maddon manages to navigate through this successfully in the – I was going to say Bears, but the Cubs still win the division. I mean, he should be manager of the year just in terms of all the things he's had to navigate through. This is one of them. Now, he's partly to blame for this one, but I don't know if Wilson's the answer. I don't think he has a good answer right now.
Probably. There's your remaining schedule, by the way. Reds at the Diamondbacks, at the White Sox, home with the Pirates and the Cardinals.
Probably, like Adam said, this would be, if they won the division, his best year in a Cubs uniform to date. Bigger picture, obviously, the bullpen is a concern. I think we recognized that in June when the starting staff didn't live up to its potential. And you look at when the Cubs won the World Series. I mean, in that Game 7, it came down to the bullpen. And the best bullpen pitchers in baseball ran out of gas. Andrew Miller, Aroldis Chapman. So that's the concern if they get to October. But, they have to get there first. So problem with this move.
The bullpen was doing great. They were so much stronger because Strope was part of that, you know, setup core. And Cishek, you know, before he started giving up home runs, he was lights out. He was terrific.
He's career high in appearances is 69 for Steve Cishek. He's now at 72. So he is being used and used hard.
Well, it's another question mark for Joe Maddon's managing of the bullpen, is it not?
But Maddon also does things like Bodie in the outfield. You know, I mean, it's just amazing how every guy that comes to that park thinks, hey, I'm going to be a part of this game. And they usually are.
Do they still win the division?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll say yes, but I'll offer this, that I don't think they're going to have a Braves-like run in the NL Central. I believe at some point over the next two or three years, the Brewers are going to end up on top and the Cubs are going to be in that wild card game.
I think they win the division and it has nothing to do with really them. I think the Brewers, I don't think they can keep this up, personally.
Right. To the Blackhawks. They began training camp today. Corey Crawford on the ice, but he did not practice with the rest of the team. He worked out before the rest of the squad took the ice, took some shots from goalie coach Stefan Waite. He has not played in a game since December 23, 2017. Today he revealed what's been wrong as well as how close he is to returning.
Last year was a concussion, and I'm still getting over symptoms. So, most of them are gone, but I'm not clear yet. So until that happens, I won't be back in.
Corey, did vertigo play a role?
No, I didn't have vertigo once the whole time. I mean, that's people are going to speculate about what was going on, and you know, it was tough. It was tough not playing, but right now I'm feeling good. Mike Gapski, our head trainer, has done a ton to help me out. I'm getting all the treatment that I need, and trying to get back as quick as possible. But I'm close. I'm really close.
Look, not good.
Look,
not
that's, good. That's a bad situation. And if I was in his family, I'd say to him, you've made a ton of money, guy.
Retire.
I mean,
you won a title.
You've won two cups. And he says retirement never entered his mind, but that's the competitive nature of a professional athlete. But boy, oh boy, when you have a head injury that's this is December to now and he still can't practice,
9 months.
I would be all in, I'm done.
Look, hockey has a history of guys taking this seriously. Jonathan Toews took it seriously. Sidney Crosby took a lot of time off after his concussion problems. And Corey Crawford needs to think long and hard about his own personal future and well-being. Look, we know a lot about CTE now. It's all over the football culture. They think about it seriously now, especially with these lawsuits, you know, after the fact, after the game. And Corey Crawford needs to think about his long-term health. It's been 9 months, and he's still feeling some of those effects today. Look, it's a big question mark, not only for the Hawks in terms of their goalie situation, but he needs to think about himself right now.
His life.
Yes, absolutely.
This is no joke here.
Yeah, I mean, certainly from that humanistic perspective, you don't understand why Corey Crawford doesn't just walk away. You've seen other guys in hockey do it. From a perspective of the franchise, they got to look and try to find their next guy in net because this is not trending in a positive direction. Typically speaking, and I can only say based on the guys I've covered, and you know, even in the AHL, saw guys retire as a result of this. You're going on 9 months, almost a year now, and you can't get over a concussion. You may never get over those
symptoms.
Even
if he returns, what's he going to be as a player? When they lost him last year, there were so many holes exposed in the Blackhawks' defense everywhere, all over that roster.
But it begins and ends with Corey Crawford in goal. And he says he's close. So I'm going to go the other way. You know, maybe I'm a bad person, but I want Corey Crawford in between the pipes. You know, no one put a gun to his head, and he wants to be back. He saw what that team did with the three other guys last year. I mean, they smart to sign Cam Ward.
Absolutely.
You know, he won the Cup as a rookie with Carolina.
But he can't play more than 30 games.
Right. But your backup's better. But you need Corey Crawford, and I'm very excited to hear that, to see him back on the ice, and to hear him say that he's close.
Yeah, look, if this is his choice, then it's his choice. Yeah. I'm sure there are some guys who say, look, I know the risks, I know about CTE, I love playing the game of hockey, and I'd rather do this and have a shorter lifespan and take my chances.
By the way, the Hawks also changed their policy today. They are now identifying injuries.
How about that?
No more lower body, upper body. He said, I had a concussion.
I like it. I did not experience that benefit when I covered the team for 4 years.
Why do you think they're doing this?
I don't know. I was thinking about it in the
gambling
drive-in
stuff?
Yeah, that's it.
It could be it. Yeah. And the football has to designate all their injuries.
I remember late, great Pete Rozelle said from now on, because he knew the gambling was out there, even though it was illegal, you will tell everyone what the injury report is.
Yeah. Look, the hockey guys used to hide it all the time because they
for good reason.
But like people knew what the injuries were. If you see Patrick Kane roll an ankle on the ice, you know he's got an ankle injury.
Well, but yeah, I think you're still protecting guys because there's so many cheap shots in hockey. I think there's one other reason, and Corey Crawford alluded to it. There's been a lot of innuendo with him, and he seemed like he wanted to set the record straight.
All right. Game one in Matt Nagy's new offense was not a good one for Mitchell Trubisky in the second half for sure. He knows it. Heck, he's heard about the third down where he missed a wide-open Trey Burton. How much will he improve Monday night against the Seattle Seahawks? Or will this be a work in progress all season long?
Are you an authentic Cubs fan? We want to hear from you every authentic fan night. We designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Mitchell Trubisky didn't exactly have the best week one performance start to finish, and the entire internet took sides after a still image of this play where Trey Burton was wide open in the end zone for a second. Would have been a tough throw, but Trubisky told reporters this week it's all part of the maturation process.
Yeah, I'm sure everyone saw what I saw, and they're like, oh, Mitch, throw the wide-open guy in the back of the end zone. And trust me, I wish I would. Tariq was the first option in the flat. And then it was just – it's one of those plays where you're just kind of like, how risky are you going to be? Are you going to take care of the football? So I checked it down. Well, we lost 5 yards, but we got 3 points out of it and went up 10-0. So that was the big positive takeaway for me. But moving forward, if I want to evolve into the quarterback I want to be, you got to take that opportunity, and I got to anticipate that even more. So that wasn't something that happened in practice at all that week, but you got to know as a quarterback if that opens up, take your chances and get it to the guy wide open. But it's a little less wide open when you're playing at full motion on film. When you got the still picture, which I'm sure a lot of people saw, it looks like I don't know what I'm doing, but trust me, I mean, I'm hard on myself. I mean, you want touchdowns, not field goals. So but I thought I put myself and my team in a good position in that instance, first quarter, check it down, 3 points. We're up 10-0.
I'll tell you what, I watched that press conference yesterday. You were there. I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I thought he was really good, really good in that setting. Humble, great, sincere, great presentation.
Genuine. I thought he handled it exceptionally well. And, look, people are going to break down that play to no end. But he made the right call, actually, from the get-go. His first read was Tariq Cohen. They blew up the screenplay. If you watch it, it's a screen with Cohen coming out of the backfield. Kevin White and Allen Robinson were overwhelmed. There were too many defenders out there. So he actually did the right thing. Yes, he didn't get to two fast enough, but look, it's going to be a progression for him. You know, going through his progressions, it's going to be a process. To keep saying that, people, I think, got too carried away about Nagy's offense being an instant success. There's going to be some roller coaster moments for it, for sure.
When your first read's open, yeah, you go with it. The only part of that I disagree with is I think he can make that throw. I don't think he gave himself enough credit. He said, oh, it's being more conservative, but the reality is, you know, I think he's got the arm talent.
Well, it's funny, Kevin King tweeted, who's a Packer cornerback, he said, everybody's tripping if they think that ball was going to get there. He said we'd have been Lambo leaping at the other end.
Well, it's a farther throw than it looks on that still shot. That's like a 30-yard throw into – that window is closing, by the way. Ha-ha Clinton Dix is a pretty darn good safety.
Yep.
That window is closing. And he's got to make that decision instantaneously. Look, I'm not trying to let him off the hook. I think a year from now he makes that play because he recognizes it before the snap. But, look, the scrutiny will be there for Trubisky.
Right.
No,
he doesn't have a ton of starts. Didn't have a ton of starts in college. Right. So, I mean, he's going to get better. I was that was one play that he blew. I thought, you know, he should have seen the wide-open guy. You know, I saw him from my recliner okay. But the two-minute drill at the end of the game, you know, and Clay Matthews Jr. gave him a second chance, and they still didn't take advantage of that. That was the most frustrating thing. That's like where the nausea comes in because – the Bears know what they need to do. They need to upgrade their receivers. They did that. They need to get a primo tight end. They did that. They're using the running backs well. But, I mean, Trubisky can't just wake up and be like, you know, as great as he's going to be by Monday. I think they will win Monday. Case Keenum had a lot of yards against the Broncos. Against the Seahawks. Threw a couple balls right to defenders. But I think Trubisky ought to have a better game.
Well, the Seahawks aren't exactly the Super Bowl winners.
But the funny thing is, in Seattle, their media there, they think this is a layup for them.
Really?
Layup.
Well, then why aren't they favored?
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Look, I think they're close. People were like saying to me, like, I would just rather watch the Packers blow them out. No. I covered a 55-14 drubbing up there.
That was brutal.
I was there in Mike Glennon.
I was there.
It was at four.
That's when Virginia got pissed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You knew how far away they were in those games. They didn't even belong in the same field. They belong in the same field as the Packers right now. They should have beaten the Packers. Yes, you don't like what he did in the final 2 minutes, but it's a moment he needed to happen. It's his first start at Lambeau Field. He's in prime time. That's his first time facing Aaron Rodgers. He has never had that type of game experience
or
ever.
Or scrutiny. And it's basically his rookie year all over again. You're talking about his third offense in as many years. So, you know, basically what he did last season was null and void, except he got a little taste of the NFL. He's learning a new system, and I'm sure he sees that. He sees Trey Burton, you know, even 6-7 weeks down the road when he has some more plays in his playbook under his belt.
We're going to find out. It was an interesting game from the perspective of the first 15 minutes. Simpatico. I mean, coach, quarterback, like, whoa, what am I watching here? And then after they got away from the script, it got a little dicey.
But that's to be expected. It's his first start in a brand new offense. I think a lot of people are letting the defense off the hook. They were outstanding early on, but Kyle Fuller's got to make the interception. Eddie Jackson's got to stop Randall Cobb over the middle. I'm sorry. Here, go ahead.
No, I'm with you. That Eddie Jackson, the ball was thrown right. I'm sorry, Kyle Fuller, ball was thrown right to him. If he catches that, game is over. That was the greatest half of Bears football against the Packers in history, followed by probably the worst half. You know, with the exception of giving up like 50 points. But I mean, the Packers with a quarterback who had been carted off the field, who came back, who could barely walk. And Bears fans everywhere knew what was going to happen.
All I know is Vic Fangio's guys should have gotten a little more blame in the second
half. Absolutely.
Where's
the inside pressure? Where's the adjustments for Fangio?
All right. We are leading you up to White Sox baseball, top of the hour. Southsiders are in Baltimore to take on an Orioles team that already has 100 losses. Ooh. Chuck Swirsky in for Jason Benetti tonight. Swirsky and Steve Stone have the call from Cannon Yards at 7. More STL after this.
If you love baseball, you can't miss NBC Sports Chicago's newest show, Baseball Night in Chicago. Between Ozzie Guillen, Doug Glanville, Bill Melton, David DeJesus, there's never a dull moment. For complete listings and guest information, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/Baseball Night in Chicago.
All right, this is the final game of Urban Meyer's three-game suspension. He has been preparing his club in practice. He cannot coach the team tomorrow when they play TCU in Arlington, Texas. I'm looking forward to this game. I really think Ohio State is just loaded with talent, and TCU is always tough down in Texas. Harry, this is going to be a whale of a matchup.
I like the Horned Frogs. I'm going purple here.
I'm laying the 13.
They're big dogs.
Yeah, I like them to cover.
Yeah, getting points at home? Come on.
Yeah, I can't see Ohio State beating them by double digits.
No.
Yeah, I have them winning by 20. So
this is so disappointing to me, the way that the Ohio State handled the situation. And Urban Meyer, who lied to the media, who lied to everybody, Big Ten Media Day, just he's going to be back after this weekend? That's horrible. What a terrible message to send. And Ohio State, you could do something about it, and you're choosing not to.
Yeah, if you are going to bet Ohio State, though, I'd still wait overnight because there's a lot of public money on the Buckeyes right now, so I think that line's going to move. But
to go back to
it's being closer than we thought.
To go back to Harry's point, you know, the suspension. Look, he's been coaching his team.
That's a joke.
All week.
Yeah.
Like, it's a joke. If you're going to really punish the guy, like ban him from the building for a full month and not have him prepare his team. Obviously, they're still prepared. Obviously, Urban Meyer's still an excellent football coach. Obviously, Ohio State's still loaded, but that's not quite the punishment that should have been handed
out. No, make him watch Ohio State basketball.
You could have justified firing him. I could have lived with him being suspended all season, but he should not have been permitted to coach that football program this year, period.
All right. There you go. Boys, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for watching Sports Talk Live. We'll be back on Monday. White Sox and the Baltimore Orioles are coming up next from Camden Yards at Oriole Park. Have a great weekend. We'll see you.